7. Hebrews chapter 7, we'll be looking as we continue our study through the book of Hebrews. We'll be looking at verses 20 through 28. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 20 through 28. The title of our message today is A High Priest Fitting for Us. A High Priest that's fitting for us. If you've got your Word of God, and I pray that you do, if you'll take it and stand to your feet in the reverence and reading of God's Word. We'll be looking at Hebrews chapter 7. Look at 20 through 28. The Word of God says this, "And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, 'The Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek,' by so much more Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer a sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once and for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints a high priest, men who have weaknesses, but the word of oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son, who has been perfected forever." Lord, let's pray. Father, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I pray in Jesus' name that you'll be glorified, you'll touch our hearts through the reading and teaching of your word. In Christ's name and all God's people said, you may be seated. High priest fitting for us. As we continue this study, by the time we get through 7 and 10 of Hebrews, we're going to know who our high priest is. This theological section of Hebrews is not just thrown in there, but this is somebody that's working and knows the Scripture. We'll see that time again in Psalms 110, that's been forever a priest in the order of Melchizedek 4 times. And so he's wanting us to make sure this writer's making sure the Hebrews get it, but us as well. But I was thinking, as I try to be a praying person, by no means am I saying that I pray like I should. I never feel like I pray as often or as much or as well as I should, but I try to pray daily. Try to pray for who? I try to pray for my family, obviously, my close family, my wife, my children. I call them out by name. And I try to pray for my extended family. I pray for you guys as my church family. I pray for needs. I pray for people in this community that I know need the Lord. I pray for them. And so I have this time that I set aside to pray. And I should be a praying person, right, as your pastor. But I want you to know, before I was a pastor, I prayed. And I hope we all do. But I want you to know that my prayers are inadequate and weak and flawed. You say, why? I'm sinful. And so when we think about this, my sinfulness often clouds my perception. It makes me weak. I get tired physically. I get tired emotionally. I get tired spiritually. And so when I think about this, I have a limited knowledge of understanding of certain things. Even my wife, that I feel like I know as good as anybody in this world, she's a mystery to me and I'm a mystery to her. Can anybody say amen? Yeah. But it's because we can never know each other like the Lord Jesus does. Okay, that's what I'm getting at. Because where I am flawed, he is not. And he forever, we'll see, forever makes this intersection. Why is it so important for us that we understand that he's there at the Father, at the right hand of God, and he forever makes intercession for us. He even knows how to pray when we don't know how to pray. Remember Romans 8? He says he can take our feeble prayers and present them before the Father in a way that's presentable to him. Aren't you glad that we have that high priest that's fitting for us? And so when we get to this section, it's teaching us all about this high priest and how we've seen over the last couple of weeks and how he's perfect. God made him for us, and we have this advocate before the throne, and we have this access to the throne ourselves in Christ. And so when we get here, this high priest that's fitting for us, remember the book of Hebrews is all about superiority, how Christ is superior to the angels, how Christ is superior to Moses, and how Christ is superior to the old high priest or the old covenant of the high priest. And so he continues with that thought. And how is he superior? Or how is he that high priest that's fitting for us? I want us to think of three ways this morning. What? Three ways. That's about my day. Three ways. Three ways for us. Maybe you'll get four. Maybe the Lord's got something. But listen, three ways as we go of this high priest that's fitting for us, or that's a superior high priest. First is, he's the guarantee of a better covenant. Look at verses 20 through 22. And the scripture says, "And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, 'The Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek,' by so much more Jesus has become surety of a better covenant." He's the guarantee of this better covenant. God didn't swear to Aaron that his priesthood would last forever. We've learned that over the last couple weeks. In contrast of the old institution, God, when he brought Aaron and he brought his sons out, he said, "This will be your priest." But he didn't say, "It will be your priest forever." The scripture nowhere says that. And so this is what the author is trying to get across to these Hebrews. The priesthood would not be eternal, but with Christ, he swore an eternal priesthood. God swore an oath. And he confirms it time and time again that his priesthood would last forever. His word is all he needed. But yet he made an oath. He made an eternal decision about a new eternal priesthood. And Christ would be the fulfillment of that. Along with his word, think about his word this morning. What is his word? The very fabric of our universe. He spoke it all into existence. He spoke in there. What, you know what? He said, "Let there be light." And what did the scripture say? And there was light. So his word is the very fabric of our universe. It's the very thing that sustains and holds it together. The very reason that we have life here today, it's his word. And yet we see that Jesus was, that this oath, his word is enough, but yet God makes an oath to show that this is done. This is a done deal. The promise of that fulfillment of that oath would be his son and the sending of his son. We see that emphasis in verse 22 when it says, "By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant." Aren't you glad we have a better covenant? It wasn't that we throw the old covenant away, but all it did is we've learned through these chapters, this chapter, that it pointed to the one that would come that would fulfill it all. And aren't you glad when God made that covenant in Genesis 12 with Abraham, and he said, he didn't have any kids, remember, we've already learned that, "From your loins, from you and Sarah would come these stars." He's so many kids, he didn't have kids, but he said, "Also the whole world would be blessed by your children." Aren't you glad for that today? Why? The only reason we're sitting here in this room is because of the fulfillment of that Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 12 through Christ the Son. That's our common denominator here. I hope it is anyway. I hope you're not here just to be with friends or check it out or to see that crazy preacher, redneck preacher down at South Fork. I hope that's not why you're here. We're not here to entertain. We're not here to make much of anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified, okay? And so when we see this fulfillment, it was through the sending of his son. And that's what this author of Hebrews, that's what he's getting at. When he said, "I want you to grab a hold of that today." He says, "Surety of a better covenant." That's the guarantee. Surety. Guarantee of a better covenant. The covenant God made through Jesus Christ, it's better than the old one. Why? The old one was temporary. The last one, the new one that we're living, is eternal. It's forever. A better priest guarantees a better covenant. Praise God for that this morning. When we think about that, when Christ came, we'll celebrate that before you know it, the incarnation. He became like us, folks. God came in human flesh. Think about that for a minute. Think about it. God becomes flesh and he dwells among us. That's what John says.
And we beheld His glory. The glory is as the only begotten Son. He becomes like us. He has the same body. He has the same pain. We know that He's sinless, but He knows what it is to stump His toe or hurt Himself. He knows what it is to have pain. He can resonate with your pain this morning. I want you to know that. Whatever pain that you might be feeling and suffering, it resonates in Christ. Why? He's been here. This high priest, He's been here, and guess what? He is there. Ooh, come on. He's been here, but He's there with the Father. And He's interceding for us, and He knows our pain. He knows our suffering. He took the punishment we deserve. How many times do I think about that I slip and stumble and I have to ask forgiveness? I see Jesus in my mind's eyes. I said, Father, Satan comes to accuse me, and he's covered by the blood of Christ. Does that make me want to sin more? Say, all right, it's covered? No, that makes me want to sin less and to hate the sin that's within my own self. The pride and all these things that I struggle with as a human being. Listen, there's one that makes intercession for me this morning and for you. Because He's been here, He can resonate with us. He's the guarantee of this new covenant that we can look forward to the fulfillment of it one day. He ascended, and there He's at the right hand of the Father. And when you come to Him, there is nothing that He cannot do. Do you hear that this morning? Nothing that He cannot do. He's the guarantee of a better covenant. Not only that, though, He's our eternal Savior. Look at verses 23 and 25. Listen to what it says. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death of continue. But He, because He continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, He's also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. We have an eternal Savior. The whole priesthood was impermanent. Listen, I read Numbers chapter 20, 28. Aaron, time to die. He says, go up on Mount Hor, and He takes him up there. Moses strips him of his garments, and He gives it to Eleazar, his son. Aaron dies. His son takes his place. His son will die. His son will die. Do you see what I'm saying? It was a succession of priests. In fact, there were 83 high priests between this time of Aaron to when the temple's destroyed in 70 A.D. It's a succession of high priests. Men die. Jesus lives forever. Hello? It's permanent. There's no unevenness in His priesthood. You say, what are you talking about? You walk down this hall right here, and there's a whole wall full of, I call it the Hall of Fame, right? What's over there? Pictures of what? Pastors. Pastors that have served here. And as I go down that hall, many times you don't know this. It just means, Lord, I salute them. Say, for those about to preach, I salute you. Listen, why? Because they've served here. They're men that came and poured themselves in the congregations that served. Many of you guys are old enough to remember them. There's some that, what, you liked better. There's some that you didn't like as much. Some that was good preachers. Some that was good pastors. And yada, yada. And then some you just get stuck with, okay? There's no unevenness in Jesus. Listeners, He is the perfect priest. He is the perfect priest. He's eternal. He's not inexperienced whatsoever. He is God. And He came in the flesh for you and I. He is your perfect high priest. Because look at verse 25. He's capable of anything. Listen. Why? Because of His permanence. He's the last high priest we'll ever need. Look at verse 25. We'll confirm that. Therefore, He also is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. You know what you're thinking, right? Save to the uttermost. I know that I am. What am I? Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Through the Father, through the Son, through the Holy Ghost, I'm saved to the uttermost. It had to be, whoever wrote that had to be reading this verse, right? Saved to the uttermost, one of the most beautiful verses in Scripture. It contains what? The whole essence of the gospel. The whole essence. What does it say? It says, He saves forever to the uttermost. Jesus' priesthood is no halfway measure. The old was a symbol, but Jesus Christ is able to save both eternally and completely. How is it that I can sit here to tell you that if you have Christ as your Savior, you will never lose it? It's because of these verses right here. Come on. If you believe you can fall from grace, then you believe you did something to get it. I don't care how you try to make it, swamp it down. That's what you do. You believe you did something to get it. You didn't do anything to get it, and you won't do anything to keep it. Did I hear that? Amen. He saves to the uttermost. It's forever and completely. Jesus is the key, able to keep you eternally. I'd hate to think that I rested on what I did. That's a works-based kind of salvation, is it not? Whether we ever admit to it or not. He does it completely. He saves us completely. We live in a beautiful place. Go out here, and my brother-in-law and sister-in-law were up and hung out with us. They live off the mountain in hot land, okay? We'll just call it hot land. That's right, 93 degrees. I was down in Raleigh Friday. It was 93 degrees. I stepped out. It felt like I stepped in a microwave oven. I said, Dear Lord, how did I ever live here? We live in a beautiful place, and we look around, and they're up here, and they said, Oh, look at the beautiful flowers. It was weeds. That's what it was. They were weeds, but they got flowers, they got blooms on them. Our weeds up here bloom, okay? Do we not live in a beautiful place? We take it for granted when somebody comes up and they haven't been here. You kind of remember. It's like, oh yeah, look around. It's so beautiful here. But you know what? When we can learn some great things from nature, can't we? Remember when we learned that in Romans, that all of this natural beauty and all the things of nature and creation can point us to this Christ, this natural revelation, what we call it. But it's limited, is it not? It's limited. Why is it limited? Well, the birds can suggest to us that God's beauty, but guess what? They can't sing redemption song. You hear me this morning? The birds can't sing redemption song. The ocean with its pounding waves, as we can stand next to it, suggests God's greatness and His dependability, but they do not proclaim the gospel. The stars, the psalmist says, declares the glory of His handiwork, but they cannot tell you how to come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's natural revelation, like the Old Testament sacrifice that only pointed to that which was to come. We only learn salvation through special revelation. We only learn salvation through God's Word and the preaching of the gospel. That's why Paul said he wasn't ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. Is that not what he said? Power of God unto salvation to the Greek, Jew first and also to the Greek. But I want you to know that it's through His written Word. When people, hey, if through coming and learning and hearing, and you're not here by coincidence, and if you need this Savior, you're not going to go out. Listen, it's kind of weak and anemic for those people to say, well, I can find God out on the lake. I can find God out in the woods in the deer stand. I can find God out on the golf course. All these things, yeah, but that is a shallow view of God, is it not? When it can't save us, we see here that it's through that divine revelation, through God's Word and through the preaching of God's Word and the gospel that Christ came to this earth, gave His life on a cross, died, was buried on the third day and rose, that if you place your trust in Him, you will have eternal life. You can't learn that from a tree. You can't learn that from a lake or out of a fish. You can't even learn it from a flower as beautiful as it is. But you can learn it from the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you can take that gospel and give it to everybody. You! We proclaim His gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. We do. He give it to us. Nature cannot possibly see clearly. When we go out there, we can't see clearly God's judgment, can we? Oh, we can see some things in fallenness, but we can't understand judgment of sin. We can't understand why it is that we struggle with all these things. We say, oh, it's just being human. You got that right. It's called fallen humanity and sinfulness. And guess what? We are born that way. We're all born into sin. Do you hear me? We're all born into sin. And we struggle with different propensities. Oh, now you got me sore up. I can't even talk. Propensities. We all struggle with different sins. Aren't you glad that Christ came to make it even ground? Thank God. As beautiful as it is, it can never point us to the Savior. God gave that to you in His Word. Proclaim the gospel. Because it says here that He is able, verse 25, He's able what? That He saves us. He brings us near to God. And that our security is eternal. He always, look what it says, He always lives to make intercession for them. He's there. That means no matter what we're going through and no matter how far we might feel from God, the Scripture says He's there and He's making intercession for you. It's eternal. He saves us and He keeps us. He's the guarantee of a better covenant, and He's our eternal Savior. But also, lastly, look what it says. He is holy and sinless, verses 26 through 28. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sin and then the people's. For this he did once and for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men who have weaknesses, but the word of the oath which came after the law appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. My inadequacies when I am interceding and I'm praying for you or my family is hindered and because of my sin. But God through Christ, and you know what He did? He is unstained. He can take my prayers. He can take these things. He saves me from the sins of my past, my present, and my future. And in Christ, He can take my prayers and present it before the Father in heaven. He stands to make that intercession for you and I. He's blameless, He's holy, and He's pure. All priests that we see here were sinful. Why? Because they had to offer up sacrifices for their own sin. I can't tell you how many times I begin my prayer by saying, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, for my own sin before I start praying for others. Pastor, you sin? You struggle with sin? Well, see, I'm not going to put on a plastic mask and act like I don't. Shame on the man that does. We all do, and we all struggle. But aren't you glad there's one that doesn't? Aren't you glad that there's a Savior that walked in our shoes, that wasn't tainted by sin, that didn't struggle with sin, that didn't have to offer up a sacrifice for Himself, but He was the sacrifice. And it says once and for all. He makes his statement separate from sinners. Separate from sinners. We know Jesus rubbed elbows with a sinner, right? In fact, the Pharisees accused Him of that. Well, He's eating with lime members and gluttons and all these sinners. So it's not that He was separated. He didn't have anything to do with sinners. Praise God, I'm glad He didn't, because there stands one I'm glad He came to save, all right? It's not saying that, but it's saying that, listen, He was in an utterly different class. His nature was totally different from ours. He was not marked by sin. And what is it saying? He has become higher than the heavens. There's nothing like Him. Never will be, never has, and never will be. Why? He's transcendent. What does that mean? He is outside of time. He's not limited by time and space. He's not limited by anything. He's God. You say, well, have you ever scratched your head and said, how in the world can I be praying over here and somebody's around the world? There's 7 billion of us. How can He be hearing my prayers and making intercession? He only made 100 million stars and 100 million galaxies. Do you not think He can't hear your prayers all at the same time? He's outside of our thinking. He's outside of time and space. He's far above that which we can put into that box. He's God. He's Christ. And He's superior to anything that's ever been or ever will be. That's our Savior. That's our high priest that's fitting for us. Verse 28 says, the law appoints men. The oath appoints the Son. Why? It's permanent. His person, His holiness, He's blameless. He's pure. He's fitting for us. Why? He meets our every need. You don't need anything else. You don't need to quit doing whatever it is that you want to put in that category. I need to quit doing this before I get my life right. You see what I'm saying? If you need to, why do you need Jesus? Give it to Him. He'll take care of it for you, okay? In fact, you can't without Him. Do you understand? You have to have Him. He can meet your need this morning. What's your need? What are you struggling with? Are you lost? Do you know you're lost? Set these pews, heard a preacher get up here and preach message after message. Do you know you're lost? He's sitting there waiting on you. He's saying, come to me. I'll no wise cast you out. All it takes is for you to receive that which God has done for you. You don't have to do anything. Don't in your mind think, I need to quit doing this or I need to quit doing that. That's a lie out of the pit that will never happen. Here's one that can testify to that. You bring it to Christ and you say, Lord, I'm lost and I need Jesus. And He said, you know what? When we call upon the name of the Jesus, we accept His sacrifice, that high priest's sacrifice, that once and for all sacrifice that's there beside the Father making intercession. When we accept that, He said, ye, all those that call upon the name of the Lord, what does it say, church? Shall be saved. Not might be. Shall be saved. Our problem is that we're so smart sometimes, so intellectual, so trying to logically fit it into man's thinking. It's as simple that a kid can understand it. But yet, in our great vast knowledge, we try to taint it up. Shall be saved. If you need Christ, you're sinful. All you have to do is turn to Him. The Bible said you can receive Him this morning. Or maybe you're struggling with something in your life. Maybe something that you've carried for a long time, a burden. Jesus said, just bring it to me. Quit carrying it. Lay it at my feet. Allow me to do it. He says, hey, be anxious for nothing, Philippians, but with prayer and thanksgiving, offer your request made known to God. Be anxious for nothing in a world that's full of anxiousness, that we're the most anxious people that's ever lived. How in the world can I not be anxious? Just give it to me. And he says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Why? How? Through Christ Jesus. Give it to Him. Linda, come and play as we're doing our applications. What is it that you're doing? Do you know this high priest this morning? Do you know you have a relationship with Christ? I don't mean a cultural Christianity that you've come to church all your life for this. I'm talking about a life-changing. Christ has come in and changed your heart. Do you know the high priest? Number two, what are you carrying around that you need to give to Him this morning? What are you carrying that only Christ can carry? Let's stand to our feet for the last one. Number three, what does He want you to do? See, when we come face to face with God's Word, it calls for a response. We can either walk out and not let it change us, or we can allow it to touch our hearts and Him use us. Do you understand you are the vehicle that He tells the world about Christ? All the beauty that you live in, none of them upon it, nothing upon them to Christ except your words and the gospel and God's word in your heart. Are you living that daily? Let's close our heads, our eyes before the Lord. Bow our heads. What is it God's saying to you? Are you lost today? Listen, are you lost? Right now you know. Are you lost? Have you ever received Christ as your Savior? Is Christ evident in your life? If He's not, receive Christ this morning. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. Turn to Him, and He'll save you, is what the Scripture says. Are you heavy laden? You have a burden? What is it that you need to lay down today? God's speaking. Don't be disobedient. A few minutes. Not gonna make something emotional and try to woo you. If you need to talk to God, come and talk to Him now. Don't put it off. What about you? You need to talk to the Lord? Struggling with something? lust, has pride, something got a hold of you, you just need to say, Lord, I can't, but you can. Child of God. I hope we can all say that when we leave here. It's not walking an aisle. It's not going through a routine. It's just coming to the realization that I'm a sinner and I need Christ and turning to Him and asking you forgiveness. Confessing your sin and turning to Him. That's what salvation is. And that's heaven for Him. Listen, tonight, Mercy's Well, 6 o'clock. You don't want to miss a great group. Come out, sing, worship the Lord. Bring your love offering for them because they're coming for that. Listen, they're not coming for that. They're coming. That's all they're coming to receive. In other words, they're ready, willing to come for free. So we need to take care of them when they come, okay? But also, look, Awana's getting ready to have their luncheon over here. If you're thinking about becoming a Awana worker this year, come over and have lunch and listen to the meeting. All the guys that are already working in Awana, make sure to come over. A lot of good things going on. Pray for our kids as they start back to school this week. Keep them in your prayers and teacher. Remember to shine that light. The most beautiful scenery we have, and yet you're the most beautiful thing that God can use to get the gospel out. Okay? Lee closes in prayer.